Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Crawley.
All right, now I'm just going to invite Papa Alistair to just give us a little bit of what God is doing in the nations. For those who don't know, Alistair is an ordained minister of the gospel. He oversees all our international missions, and he kind of like drives the engine of missions and outreach in Kingdom Faith Church. He is a man who carries God's word together with Connie. I love them so much, and I pray for them. He is the one who introduced me to TV. Those of you who have been sending me messages, I've been seeing you on TV. He is a man. He's there every week, a couple of days, and he's the one who introduced me. And today we are honored to receive him as a father and as an apostle, as an evangelist, as a missionary, to just give us a little bit of what God is doing in the nations here on earth before we go to heaven. So, Papa Alistair, in a short manner, just come and do it.
Thank you so much. Hallelujah. It's great to be here with you on this special occasion. Pastor Victor, he refers to me as Papa Al. And apart from feeling very old, once I've got over that, I feel very proud because I can't think of anyone else. I would rather have a son in Christ Jesus. I think of people like Paul, and he had his Timothy, who was a son in Christ, you know. It's a relationship thing. It's much more than just a name. So for me, I couldn't be more proud to have you as an adopted son. I know we do a lot of work in Pakistan. By the way, you might be wondering why I'm wearing these funny clothes. This represents Pakistan because I was born in Pakistan. My parents lived there till I was 12 years old, and then we came back here. And now I do a lot of, we've planted 23 churches in the Punjab area. And then this is Africa, it's Uganda, because we've done the same in Uganda. Hey, somebody loves Uganda here. Praise the Lord. It's one of the many nations that are represented here. And then my trousers are good old Marks and Spencers, as are my shoes. England. So praise the Lord. It's so good to be here because, you know, even just doing the quiz just now, it reminded me of how important it is for us to understand that we are called. And we started the whole service this morning with Isaiah 56. We're called to be a house of prayer for the nations. And even, you know, listening to the incredible vision that is being carried by Kingdom Faith Church as an apostolic hub, you know, a church that reaches out to nations. And we will talk about that a little bit later when we see the map of the world. And there's, I think it's something like 17 different nations that we have overseas workers working in at the moment. And of course, we're called to be his witness in Jerusalem, in Crawley, in Horsham, in Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And even this, I don't know how many of you have been watching this week, and I don't mean the sport necessarily, but if you're watching the sport, you get to know some of the nations of the world. But what's been happening even this past week, we've had the eclipse. And, you know, the Bible talks about signs in the heavens, doesn't it? And we've had this eclipse, which has been major. Even we saw something like 95 or 92%, depending where you were, of the moon coming and casting a shadow against the sun. I have a friend from, funnily enough, from Revelation TV, who actually went out. He took a flight out to Spain because he wanted to see the total eclipse. And he sent me a great picture. Because I don't know how many of you know that. When the moon comes in front of the sun, you can't see anything except this sort of glow all around it. But then when it starts to move, there's like a diamond ring that appears. And a diamond ring is always a sign of engagement, isn't it? And I was looking at that picture, because I wasn't in Spain. I said to him, next time invite me. But I was looking at that picture and thinking, it's God. He's preparing his bride. So he's a sign in the heaven that of his engagement to us as the body of Christ. So it's important for us to understand the nations and what's going on in the nations. But remember, no matter what nation, and I was amazed, 28 nations are represented in the congregation here. That's incredible. 28 nations from different parts. But you are now part of the kingdom of God. And There's so many things I'd like to talk about, but we have limited time. But one of the scriptures, which is probably my favorite scripture at this time, because it comes out of Matthew chapter 24 and it's verse 14, because in that scripture it talks about everything that happened. I mean, yesterday, I don't know if you watched the news, Indonesia had a major earthquake. And again, many people have been killed there. And again, you might not know, but Indonesia is the biggest, the largest Islamic nation in all the world. It's got the largest population of Islamic people in all the world. And they're very, very evangelical, if I can use that word, because they are reaching out into places like Philippines. They're reaching out to the nations and the islands around them to bring the lies, the deception. It's not a lie so much because people are deceived. So it's important for us to understand those things and pray for those things. Even again, referring to what we saw earlier in the quiz, the nations that one of the programs I do on the TV is called Persecuted Church. And Pastor Victor mentioned Nigeria, because Nigeria we featured three or four times, because it's not the highest, North Korea is the highest, most dangerous place for Christians to live, because most of them don't even live there, because they're either dead or they find a way of escaping from the nation. But Nigeria has more people killed, Christians killed in Nigeria, than all the other nations put together, which is a weird, frightening statistic. And yet they are not the most dangerous place for Christians to live. It's a big population, but there is a major battle going on between Islam and the Christians, and it is the Christians who are being persecuted. So why does God call us to know what is happening in the nations? Because he wants us to be prayerful. We are here representing many nations, and some of us are probably very happy that we've come out of the nations, because I know I meet a lot of people who have come out of oppression, real difficult times in the nations, and God brings them into a safe place. And then he settles you into a place like Crawley. By the way, I love Crawley. I know we live in Horsham. We live a lovely part of Horsham, and just outside in the village called Rusper. Beautiful, beautiful place. But I love coming to Crawley because it's a bit like today. When I look around the congregation and think of 28 nations, I think this is like a small picture of what heaven's going to be like. Because as we've heard, it's all nations. You know, there is a big, big ministry out of America, but started here in Europe because it was under a man called Reinhard Bonnke. And he has actually trained in Wales, funnily enough, in the Bible school there. But he had a heart for Africa particularly, but he went into every nation because God had birthed something within him to go out and preach the gospel. And I remember one of the big famous statements he made was that you can take the man out of Africa, but you cannot take Africa out of the man. And that's what I want to believe God is going to impart into our lives today. Not just that we are a church that are enjoying fellowship together, we're standing and praying together, but that God would impart his love for all of the nations for that one reason, because he desires for all nations to come and worship before him, because he is God. So when I hear of so many nations that are still unreached, huge statistics there, God needs us. God needs us to be a people of prayer first, but also people who are willing to do like Isaiah chapter 6, where God just came and by his spirit and touched the heart of one man, Isaiah. And he immediately fell into a kind of conviction of his sin. You know, because he said, I am a man of unclean lips. And immediately, because he had confessed that, he looked to the Lord, and the Lord sent an angel with a coal from the altar and touched his lips to cleanse him. And he said, now you speak what I'm telling you to speak. And then he asked that wonderful question. And he asks me this question all the time. Who will go for us? Whom shall I send? And Isaiah immediately, I mean, he's just been filled with the Holy Spirit and the anointing has come upon him. And he says, here I am, Lord, send me. Now, not everyone is meant to go out to another nation. But I believe even today, God is birthing nations in your hearts. Nations, not necessarily the nation you came from. Not necessarily. When I came out of Pakistan, age 12, I went into church because my parents went to church. I didn't ever want to go back to Pakistan. Because, you know, I realized I was only 12 and I didn't realize the kind of problems that my parents were going to face, and they knew that me, and I'm one of seven children, would face if we stayed there. We would not be able to find work. We could get educated because there were many Christian schools teaching English schooling. But we would never be able to get a job in the nation unless we chose Islam. So my parents, I mean, my father had an amazing job over there, lived in a big house with servants and all the usual stuff that happens in those sort of countries. And he gave that all up, literally in his 40s, with seven kids, a wife, came to England and started all over again. Because he paid the sacrifice for me and for my brothers and sisters. And that's what Jesus did for you and for me. So if God loves the nations, and he does, shouldn't we have the same desire to see nations come to God? When coming back to those statistics of the amount of nations that don't know they don't know Jesus. And we know Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to the Father except through Jesus. I know there's kind of some weird thoughts. I met somebody who was supposedly a Christian, but believed in universalism. And universalism, I'd never heard of it before. I'd heard of it, but I didn't know what it stood for. But basically, a universalist believes everyone ever goes to heaven. You know, you could be Hitler, you could be Stalin, you go to heaven. And I thought, how can you believe that when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life? No one comes to the Father except through me. So we're fighting against a battle against the ideologies which are strange to us as believers. But I believe the Lord is just raising up a people, an army of God, who are full of his Spirit. You can't do it any other way. You can't do it by might, power, but only by the Spirit of the Lord. And I believe that's what God is wanting to say to you as a church. You're a great people. Like I said, when I come in here and I see a mixture of the nations here, I think this is what heaven is going to look like, but bigger, much bigger. You know, we are, a couple of hundred people here, whatever it is, I don't know. But heaven is going to be overpopulated with believers because you and I are willing to take on that responsibility and go into the nation. So what is the Lord doing? We've talked about Iran. You mentioned Iran earlier. Iran is, you know, you look at the news, it's terrible what's happening there, the kind of ongoing war, whether it's USA, Iran, who's saying what and what can we believe. You don't need to believe anything you hear in the news. You just need to listen in to God. And what, you know, from the research we do in Revelation TV, we know that there is a mighty revival going on in Iran. It's bigger than what was referred to before about China. China had this huge revival, underground church. But this is happening now amongst young people like the ones who've just been honored for all your achievements in A-levels and so on. Young people who are on the internet, dissatisfied with what they have been, the ideology that has been fed into their system. And they're seeking for truth. What does the Bible say? Ask and be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. As soon as you start to seek, God opens the door. So young people are coming in their thousands to the Lord. And despite what we hear from the IRGC and all the ruling classes in Iran, mosques are being closed daily. And there's an underground church rising up. So, you know, how important is it for us to pray? They are, you know, I say this on Persecuted Church every week. They are my brothers and my sisters. They may be thousands of miles away. We hear, we see the news along with every other piece of news, but they are the body of Christ. They are the sons and daughters of Jesus. The sons and daughters of the God of Jesus, the Father in heaven. So we need to be aware of what the Lord is doing in the nations, and not be distracted, disturbed by some of the things we see, because everything that we see has been prophesied. It will happen. I love Acts chapter 2. Everyone knows the Spirit of the Lord comes upon a frightened people. You know, they've just lost the Lord. They think he's died, and they don't know what to do, and they lock themselves in the upper room. What do? They pray. They spend days praying together, and then the Spirit of the Lord moves upon them. And you know, Acts chapter 2, it talks about what actually Peter came out of that room and started to speak. He started to quote out of the book of Joel, and he talked about sons and daughters. Sons and daughters will prophesy. Old men will have dreams. young men will have visions. That's what we're living in today. You as a son and daughter, me as a son and a daughter. He doesn't look at grandparents, great-grandparents, fathers, mothers. He looks at all of us as being his sons and daughters. And that scripture, which is a prophetic word over the whole body. You don't have to be a prophet to prophesy. It's a ministry, it's a fivefold ministry. But all of us should expect in our hearts to be able to prophesy. Now, what should we prophesy? We should be prophesying over those nations that are struggling in any way, that the sons and daughters of Christ will be rising up, because the Lord will rise over them, and he will watch over them, and he will defend them, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. Verse 14 of Matthew 24. I look at all the other things and I understand that's what is happening. But I believe with all my heart the word of God to be true. And he says, the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom, salvation, deliverance, freedom, healing shall be preached in all the world as a witness to the nation. And then the end will come. I just want to read one scripture just to close this part. And I don't know, do we want to have a look at the map? Can we? Oh, it is there. If we've got 5 minutes, I'm going to ask Connie to come and talk more specifically about the nations. And this, when we met up with Pastor Victor, and he was talking to us about coming and sharing at this wonderful, wonderful special day, this was a scripture that really touched my wife's heart. So I'm going to read it, and then she can come and talk about the nations, our specific nations, unless you want to ask me something specific. Okay, so it says from Psalm 86, verse 8, among the gods there is none like you, O Lord, nor are there any works like your works. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Can we just declare that here together? I don't know whether you'll stand or sit, but just declare our God, you alone are God. Can we do that now? Just shout it out, speak it out. We declare it, Lord. You alone are God, and all the nations shall come and worship before you. Lord, our nation and the nations represented here today, Father. One other thing I just felt the Lord say. You know, when Pastor Victor read that scripture earlier from Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 and 10, it talked about us, or it talked about his people being kings and priests, and the authority of a king and a priest. This is what God really spoke to me about earlier. You know, in Psalm chapter 2, verse 8, it says, ask of me, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance, the ends of the earth. He will give it to us as our inheritance, as our legacy. And I was thinking, you know, and I believe this is what the Lord wants to do in your lives today, to remind you that this is the authority he has given you. So you may not, I mean, I lived in Pakistan. I asked God for Pakistan. I mean, in the natural, it looks crazy because it's so Islamic. Or Indonesia, as I talked about, being the largest Islamic. But God has given you the authority of a priest to stand before him on behalf of your nations, or whatever nation he's putting in your heart. And it doesn't just need to be one. You know, you might come from Nigeria, Ghana, wherever it may be, but that may not be the only nation God puts in your heart. But he's reminding you today, Father, I just thank you, Lord, right across this church, for an understanding and a revelation of the authority of the believer, Lord. The authority of your sons and daughters in this place, Lord, that they would understand, Lord, because you will open up our hearts, open up our minds, that we would understand the power of declaration, declaring your word for the nations, Lord, declaring your heart for the nations, Lord. So I thank you today. Not only would we have that anointing of authority come over us as a congregation here in Crawley, Kingdom Faith Crawley, Lord, and right across the congregations in Sussex, but Father, more than that, every individual would know that you're calling them by name, like you did for Samuel, young Samuel, like you did with Isaiah, Lord God, and they would understand the nations you put on their heart. They can ask of you and receive it as that anointed legacy from heaven. So Father, I pray, pour out your anointing afresh upon everyone, whether they're little children, whether they're adults, whether they're old ones like myself, Lord. I need it too, a fresh outpouring of your spirit. I pray in Yeshua's name. And all God's people said, Amen. Con, do you want to come and share, or do you want to do something else first?
No, she can just
quickly. Okay. Thank you.
Sorry, I don't know if you wanted me up here, Pastor, but I'm here anyway. I just wanted to do the last part, which you mentioned, which is to tell you how Kingdom Faith is involved in the nations. That's important for us to know, because it's very exciting, and I think it's part of our family legacy. It's part of our family history, isn't it? And all of us should be excited about what God is doing through you and through me, through this particular branch of his family on earth. So here we have, and it's small, I know, but that you can come up and have a look at it later. But this is the pictures of all those that are out in the nations. And I've got a gorgeous picture, which you can come up and have a look at later, of one, the last family who just left this week, who've been out visiting us, who are out in Cyprus. And so we have got people all over the world. And it's quite amazing, because most people sitting in the churches perhaps don't know that we have all these people, and that they are part of Kingdom Faith congregation. And it all started because Pastor Colin, when he was alive, and he had the Bible school, trained people from the nations. The people from the nations came to the Bible school, and he said to them, if God speaks to you to do anything, you must obey. And people would come to him and say, you know, Pastor, I've had this dream, or I've had this idea. And he would pray with them, and he would say, I believe that's God. Now go and do it. He allowed many people from many nations to do all sorts of things. And we are very, very blessed that we are still supporting them. When you give your tithes and offerings into your congregation, a tenth of that money is automatically set aside for the missions work. So the missions people are being funded by you. So for you to have no interest in it is crazy, isn't it? Wouldn't you rather know, what am I giving to? Where are these people? Who are they? And I believe that that's what God wants to use us for, is to inform you so that you will know and you can be proud of what God is doing through you, and so that you don't forget to tithe every month either. Amen. So just briefly, I know I've only got a few minutes, but I just want to tell you that we have got a couple out in Bosnia-Herzegovina. Who doesn't know where Bosnia-Herzegovina is? I wouldn't blame you at all. But now's the time for you to find out. Bosnia-Herzegovina, where's that? Well, it's time that you found out, because they are there taking the gospel out to that part of the world. And those people need to hear the gospel, don't they? Because the Bible says in Psalm 117, it says, praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise him, all you people. For great is his love towards us, and his mercy and his faithfulness will last forever. Amen? You see, God loves everybody. He has a heart for every person. It doesn't matter where you came from. He loves you, doesn't he? Just turn to your neighbor and say, he loves you. He loves you. You know, sometimes we say it to each other, but we don't really believe it. But if you learn to love those God has sent out from the church to the nations, God will birth something in you, because you will have a love for these countries, you will have a love for these places, and you will have a love for the people. And you will begin to realize they are laying down their lives so that the gospel can be carried out from here to the ends of the earth. Isn't that wonderful? Amen? Are you happy about that? You should be. Then we have another person. She's in South Africa, and actually she'll be coming back soon, and she's going to be bringing the message to the church, and I believe you will hear this message. She is a person who is probably one of the oldest of all the missionaries that we have. When I say old, I don't mean she's old, because she's not, but she's been out the longest, if you see what I mean. She was the very first person that Pastor Collins sent out. And the work that she has done in South Africa is quite incredible. So I really recommend you get to know who she is and what she's doing. I haven't got time for that today. We've also got a couple out in the Philippines. They both were in Bible school. It's a long story, but they are now married and they are taking the work together. And it's a very, very difficult place to be at times. There are a lot of Muslims moving up in the islands. You know, there's 7,000 islands. They're moving up in the islands to try and take over everywhere. But even when they're not, there's a big fight in the spirit. There's a big fight in the spirit there. And this couple are amazing at what they do. And they target the children especially. They love the kids. They have huge Sunday schools. And they have Sunday school on the beach and all that kind of thing. It's very exciting. And then we have three lots of us. There's Alistair and myself, another couple who are also based here in Horsham. And yes, but they're in Horsham congregation, I mean. They live in Crawley. And another lady too who is also from Horsham. All three of us have different ministries in Uganda. And do you like my beads? Do you know that these are made from magazines? They cut diamond shapes of the pictures. They roll it very carefully. And they stick it together and make a bead. And then they paint them and they cover them in some sort of gluey stuff, you know, that makes them shine. And they sell them in the market. And we taught them to do this so that they could make money for their families and buy a bag of rice. What do you think? So we also have, you've probably heard of Jamal, who's out in Kurdistan. Absolutely huge work. I mean, he's involved not only in the church, but also in politics. Then we have two couples out in Cyprus, Cyprus North and Cyprus South. And there's a big divide between the country. What do you think both couples are praying for? The unity, absolutely, that the divide will, God doesn't see the divide. Why should he have a divide in the middle of this beautiful country he made? And of course, Cyprus is going to be very useful, isn't it, in receiving the Jews back home before they go back to the land. So it's going to be a very, very special place. It's going to be very exciting in what they're doing. Then we have another lady who's going out to the ends of the earth. She's been called to the ends of the earth. She's out going out to Australia shortly, and she's going into the South Sea Islands she's been before, which is the last place the Bible will reach before it goes all the way back to Jerusalem. It's gone in a full circle all the way around the earth. It's quite amazing. And these little islands, when they get the message, oh boy, do they worship God. They're wonderful, wonderful people. And they all somehow, they manage to get to Jerusalem once a year. And they bring whatever they can. They bring flowers. They bring whatever they have, you know, to give just to bless that country because they know that Jesus is coming back there. And then we have a lady in Zambia, which is where the style of my dress comes from. This is not Zambian material. This is actually Ugandan material, but I like the style of the dress. So I had it made into the Zambian dress. I think it's pretty good, don't you? And we have a couple. Then we have a wonderful lady who is out in Haiti. Haiti is an area most of us don't know much about, Haiti, but boy, you should hear the stories of how they are fighting to be God's kingdom in that land. It's quite amazing. All these people have wonderful testimonies. And one more couple that I'll mention, and they are out in Oman. They've just had a new baby boy. And, you know, babies are born out in the field. They're born in the countries where they go. And some of them have got families, they grow their families up there, and schooling can be very difficult. There are all sorts of challenges, masses of challenges. But these are the people that you are helping to fund with your tithes and offerings. And when they come back, we want you to know about them. We want you to know. And we're working at the moment on some programs that will enable once a month a missionary to come to speak. And there's no reason at all why they can't come and speak here too. So it's up to you to decide if you'd like to have more missions people. You can ask, and your pastor will say yes, because he's a missions man. So there you are. That's Kingdom's Faith work out in the field.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Yes. It helps for us to see that it's not just something we are doing in Crawley. It's much bigger than us. It's just bigger than Kingdom Faith. It's God's plan and heart for the nations. And I like saying this, between Revelation 5, 9, and 10, and Revelation 7, 9, and 10, that's mission work. Because in 5, 9, and 10, we are seeing the declaration that Jesus died, shed his blood, and purchased everybody for God. So we are now united in Christ through his sacrifice. And in chapter 7, verse 9 and 10, it's all these people have now made it home. The interlude there is completing the task, finishing the task. It's going to the nations. Some of you have been asking, how can we get involved? I think three or four people. Please see Alistair and Connie. They will tell you how you can get involved. I always encourage us. Remember, G-A-P, GAP. Mind the gap. Mind the gap. Well, for those who've not used trains, you don't know what I'm talking about. G stands for giving. A stands for attend. And P stands for pray. You can give, you can go, or you can pray. And they will guide you on how to do that. Now, before we go to the next part, please can I request the band to come on stage? Well, yeah, stage, to come in front. Our brother Simon is going to Uganda. He's been to Uganda a number of times. I think, I'm not very private to this information, so let me not even go there, but I think he must have met his wife through one of these missions to Uganda. So I would want us to pray for him. Yep. So Papa Al, are you happy to pray for him? So just stand where you are, Simon. Can you please direct our hands towards Simon? As he goes to Uganda to see his wife. When he goes there, he interacts with lots of our church. Some of our churches there or people we work closely with.
I'll also be doing the ministry out there.
Yes. So we're going to ask Papa Al to pray for him.
Thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you for Simon, Lord. I thank you. You have chosen him. You've anointed him. And this is the timing of the Lord, Father, for him to go back to that nation, Lord. Not only to be reunited with his wife, Father, but more than that, Lord, as an appointment from heaven, Father. I thank you for those divine plans and purposes you have for Simon, Lord. I thank you will lead him by your spirit. I thank you, Lord. Your word says very clearly in Deuteronomy 31, verse 8, that you go before him. You go behind him. You go with him. You will never leave him nor forsake him. So I speak those words over you, Simon. You would know the presence of the Lord and you would hear his voice directing you. Father, I pray for the blood of Jesus to surround him, not only as he travels from this nation to Uganda, but while he is in the nation too. Give him strength, Lord. Strong in the Lord and the power of his might, Lord. Not strong in self, but strong in the Spirit, Lord. I speak the Holy Spirit's power to come upon you afresh for this fresh appointment that God has for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you very much. Are we all happy to stand on our feet? I'm going to read the same portion of scripture that Papa Al read because I had cued it to read it. Says Psalm 86, verse 8, among the gods there is none like you, Lord. No deed can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name. For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. And then, just a few chapters down the line, It says in Psalm 117, one of the shortest chapters in the Bible, if not the shortest, Psalm 117 verse 1, the Bible says, "Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples, for great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever." Praise the Lord. There is an English word that is a mouthful called ethnocentrism. Ethnocentrism is seeing other cultures, seeing other people through the standards or the lens of your own culture. So because I don't like fish, I frown upon those cultures that have fish as their staple food. May the Lord have mercy on you. You missed a joke. Don't worry, it'll land on your way home. But when you see other people because they don't dress like you, they don't walk like you, they don't talk like you, they don't look like you, you judge them based on your own standards, based on the lens of your own culture, ethnos. That's called ethnocentrism. But today, if you take anything away home, especially the ones you've heard that do not yet know Christ, when you look at a person of another ethnos, look at them through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Jesus died for them too. Jesus died for that person. You don't like their food. Jesus died for that person. You don't like how they look like. Jesus died for that person who lives in a country that a president in America calls some dirty words. Jesus died for every person in the world. And unfortunately, many of them today, we're going to sing a song. They are worshiping gods they have made with their own hands. So we're going to sing a song. And the song we're going to sing, we're just going to say that all the other gods are the works of man. But you are the Most High God. There is none like you. So if you know that your God was not made by hands of man, can you just lift up your hands and say, "Jehovah, you are the Most High God." Say it like you mean it. Jehovah, you are the Most High God. Because all other gods are the works of man, but you are the Most High God. There is none like you. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.